It's lovely to see you gathered in with us this evening at our midweek meeting here in Bally Baptist Church. We bid you all a warm word of welcome. I don't know whether I should say a warm word of welcome or not. It is a little bit cold, but hopefully the heat will kick in and will warm up as the time goes on. But we trust that you'll know the Lord's blessing as we come together tonight. We also welcome those who are tuning in online on Sermon Audio. We trust that wherever you're meeting with us from, that you will also know the Lord's blessing. I want to extend a special welcome to our visitors this evening, the students and the representatives from Crown College, and also our two brothers here in the pulpit alongside me, Pastor Levi Mullins from Beaches Road Baptist Chapel, and also Pastor Derek Moorland from Oxford Baptist Chapel in England. And we welcome you all, and we trust again that you will know the Lord's blessing as you meet with us. We're going to sing our opening hymn, and then after that I'll open in prayer, just give a few announcements, and then that's my work pretty much done for the evening, and I'll be able to hand over to our brother Levi initially. So our opening hymn, the words are on the screen: "All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give, I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live." And we'll stand as we sing together, please.
Thank you.
Amen. Let's just take a moment or two and let's still our hearts as we come to seek the Lord in prayer. Let's all pray. Our God and our Father, we come into your holy presence in and through the name of Christ, our blessed Savior. Father, we thank thee, O God, for the one who has redeemed us. We thank you for the precious Lamb of God. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can come to you because of his finished work. We thank thee, O God, that he is the one who has opened up that new and living way. He is the one who has made that access that we can approach thy throne. And O God, as we approach you tonight in this fashion, Father, we do indeed pray that we would be a people who, in our hearts, in our attitudes, in our lives, would be those who are willing and prepared to surrender all. Our God, we thank you for all that you have done for us. And our God, as we come just now to gather together, we pray, Lord, that we would be those who would have sweet fellowship with thee and fellowship with one another. We thank you, O God, for all your blessing to us already today. We thank you, our Father, for your goodness and your mercy and your grace. We thank you for every blessing that we receive from your hand in a practical way each and every day. But Lord, we come together tonight to meet with you now as your people. We pray, Lord, that everything that is said and done from the beginning to the end of our time together would be done to bring glory and honor unto your great name. Our Father, we do pray for those who are visiting with us tonight. We thank you for the students from Crown College. We thank you for your servants who are accompanying them. Father, we thank you for our brethren here who are going to take part as well. And we ask, our God, that you would bless each one of them as we meet together. Father, that they would know your help, that they would know your presence, and that they would even know your blessing upon them as we meet together here. Father, we thank you for them. We thank you, Lord, for their service for you, and we pray, our God, that you would continue to undertake for them. Even as they travel from place to place, and even as they make plans then to return back over to England, we pray, O God, that you will go before them, and that you will indeed undertake for them in all that they seek to do for the Master. Father, we pray for those connected with our fellowship who need you tonight. And Lord, we know there are many. There are those who are unwell, those who are shut in, and Lord, you know all about them. We pray for those who have been bereaved in recent days, and Father, we ask that you will draw very near to them. We think of our brother Bertie Couples, Lord, on the passing of a brother, and we just ask that you will draw near to Bertie and to Gloria and the family circle. Father, we think of others who need you in different ways, those who perhaps are still in hospital, those who are unable to be with us tonight for different reasons. O God, draw near to them. Presence yourself with them, we pray. Father, we just ask now that you would bless us tonight. Bless the work here. Bless every aspect of it. And Father, we just pray that above everything that we would seek to exalt your name. Undertake now, we pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Now, just before I hand over, I'm going to give out just a few of our announcements, just to mention the various activities going on over the next week. Don't forget the Friday Night Youth Club starts tomorrow night for our young people. So that's at 7:15 tomorrow night, and that's age 11 to 16. And please do remember that. And then looking on to Saturday morning, the Market Witness here in the town at 9 a.m. And then moving on to the Lord's Day, Sunday school, and Bible classes at 10:15. Lord's Day services at 11:30 a.m. and 6:30 p.m. God willing, I'll be speaking at both of those. And then the oversight, remember, we have an oversight meeting on Monday night at 7:30, slightly earlier time, hopefully a slightly earlier finish too. But we'll be starting at 7:30 p.m. on Monday evening. And then looking forward back around to next Thursday, Little Sunbeams next Thursday morning. And then next Thursday night, we come back here again, and we'll be continuing our Bible studies in the book of Daniel, and we'll be commencing chapter 11 next Thursday evening. So those are all of the announcements. Anything else that you might need to pick up are in the little information sheet on the table in the foyer, and you'll get all the information there. All that's left for me to do now is to hand over to our brethren, and we welcome them again, and we trust they'll know the Lord's blessing as you're with us tonight. God bless you.
It's an absolute privilege to be with you this evening. And again, my name is Pastor Levi Mullins, and this is Pastor Derek Moreland. And we come and representing the Crown Christian Heritage Trust and God's people there in England and God's church there. We're very thankful for the opportunity that God has given us to be here together tonight. And we want to also, we're very thankful to have our families with us. And you might see some of our wee little ones around there. If you hear them crying, it's probably mine. And but we're very thankful that we can be together tonight. And we do seek to exalt the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is worthy. And we are unworthy, but we are thankful that the Lord Jesus Christ has died on the cross for our sin, was buried, and he rose again, and he's alive forevermore. I'd like to invite these students to come up this way at this time, and I'm going to have them introduce themselves. And they are a mixture of both American students from Crown College, Temple Baptist Church there in Powell, Knoxville, Tennessee, and as well as students from here in Europe, mostly Great Britain, and two from Netherlands. And but I'll have them introduce their names and where they are from. And we'll begin with Amina over this way. And but if they want to introduce themselves at this time.
Hello, my name is Amina, and I'm from Florida.
Hello, my name is Faith, and I'm from Ohio.
Good evening, I'm Phoebe, and I'm from Oxford.
Hello, my name is Tamara, and I'm from the Netherlands.
Hello, my name is Joanna, and I'm from Brighton.
Hello, my name is Shannon, I'm from Birmingham.
Hello, my name is Rebecca, and I'm from Exeter.
Hello, my name is Sarah, and I'm from Virginia.
Hello, my name is Savannah, and I'm from Illinois.
Hello, I'm Elena, and I'm from Oregon.
I'm Danny, and I'm from Georgia.
I'm Jonathan, and I'm from Mississippi.
My name is James, and I'm from North Carolina.
Hello, my name is Lawrence, and I'm from the Netherlands.
Hello, my name is Peter, and I'm from Exeter.
Hi, I'm Adam, and I'm from Maryland.
Hello, my name is Aaron, and I'm from Michigan.
Hello, my name is Jonathan, and I'm from Tennessee.
Amen. We're thankful to have these young people with us. Now, they do not come as a coming to sing as a choir. They're not a professional choir by any means, but I do believe they love the Lord, and they love to be able to sing unto the Lord and for his glory. And we want to thank you for the opportunity to be able to sing here tonight, just after our first song, and we'll have Elena come and share a bit of word of testimony. And but we'll have our first song, Thank God I Am Free.
Show me.
for the testimony of knowing that you have been saved. I wonder, do you know tonight that Jesus Christ is your Savior? We're thankful for the opportunity to share a testimony, and is of great things that the Lord hath done. And may the Lord be glorified as Elena shares her testimony.
Hello, as was just mentioned, my name is Elena, and my testimony has much to do with the family that I was raised in. My parents are both Christians, and even before I was born, they were praying for me and praying specifically that one day I would come to know Christ as my Savior. And that made a world of difference, just growing up in an environment where I was taught to love God. And if you had asked me from a young age, I would have told you I was a Christian. But the truth was that I never accepted Christ as my Savior. I never believed on Him. I never made a personal relationship. So for many years, I tried to live the Christian life without Christ, a hopeless and vain thing to do. And I struggled, and I showed on the outside that I loved Christ, but on the inside, I did not know Him. And one day, a friend of mine shared his testimony with me. And I just saw in his face such a peace and such a joy and a love for Christ. And I knew without a shadow of a doubt that I did not know Christ as he did. And I wanted that beyond anything else. And so I went away a little bit later in the day and I knelt down. And God brought to mind a verse, Romans 6:23. And to those who are teaching children verses, parents, grandparents, Sunday school teachers, I want to encourage you, because this verse I had memorized as a 3 or 4 year old girl. And it was my special verse because every Sunday school I would quote it and get a sweet. So for years, this had been my verse, and God just brought it to mind right when I needed it. And it says, "For the wages of sin is death." And there was absolutely no doubt in my mind that I was a sinner. If there had ever been a doubt, my parents had fixed that. So I knew I was a sinner, and I knew my need of Christ. And the verse says, "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." I had heard stories about how Christ had died on the cross for me, and he'd been buried and risen from the dead. And I knew Christ did that for me. And I just, right there, I believed on him as my Savior. I put my trust in him. And he saved me, just like he said he would in his word. And it made a difference in my life. From there, I wanted to serve God. I wanted to know him. I wasn't living the Christian life for myself, but I was trying to live it for him. And each day, the Christian life is a growing life. It doesn't stop at salvation. And each and every day since then, he's taught me more and more how to love him and how to share his love with others. So if you're in here and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, maybe you're good at being a Christian like I was. I pray that you examine your hearts and let Christ look in your hearts and search you out and know that you know that Christ is your Savior. And if you are, I hope that each day you spend learning more about Christ and learning more about who he is and growing to love him. Thank you.
We're reminded, many will say, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name?" And the Lord says, "I never knew ye." I wonder, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? May the Lord encourage us to look to him. At this time, we'll have the students sing, "We Preach Christ."
Sacrifice. We have one purpose, one mission, one reason to remain, to raise the cross of Jesus and magnify his name.
We preach Christ, who was crucified and risen from the grave. We preach Christ, the only one who has the strength to save. The message we proclaim is the power of his name. We preach Christ.
We are the voice that cries the truth today, and of this truth we will never be ashamed. Though many die,
reject the claims of Christ, God's unchanging word will still remain.
We have this moment, this hour, to seek and save the lost, to speak the name of Jesus, and point them to the cross. We preach Christ, who was crucified and risen from the grave. We preach Christ, the only one who has the strength to save. The message we proclaim is the power of His name. We preach Christ. So we lift the name of Jesus for all the world to see. The message of salvation to all who will believe. We preach Christ, who was crucified and risen from the grave. We preach Christ, the only one who has the strength to save. The message we proclaim is the power of His name. We preach Christ. We preach Christ. We preach Christ.
Thankful to be able to share with you the great things that the Lord hath done in the work in England. And many of you may not be aware and of what God has opened the doors for us to be able to take part in. It is God's work, not ours. And we believe that God's work is truly evident all across this globe. And we simply must seek to do His will and not our own. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians, the Word of God here says in 2 Corinthians 4, it says, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. We're thankful in 2006 God opened the door there at Temple Baptist Church and Crown College under the leadership and pastorship of Pastor Clarence Sexton. And God led in an opportunity, and a fellow by the name of Gene Evans and Julian and Gene Evans and his wife Jean there, they came over to England and began there at Beaches Road Baptist Chapel. And shortly after, James and Genevieve Zinker joined with them and continued to see that work there planted. And it was a chapel that was scheduled to be demolished. And you may hear of many on the mainland of that have turned into mosques or apartments or being completely destroyed. But we're thankful that God saw fit that place that was scheduled to be a pay and display car park is now continuing to preach the gospel faithfully and filled with families. And we're thankful for God's continued work there at Beaches Road Baptist Chapel. And from there, God opened a door in Oxford at Oxford Baptist Chapel. And we're thankful for God's leading to what many could consider an intellectual capital of the world, one of many, but a very unique opportunity there. And we're thankful for what God has done even over these past couple years. During the pandemic, there is an opportunity to be able to continue to meet with social distancing measures in a tent and a field just in the edge of Oxford. And since and during that time, and as they were able to go back to the building, they couldn't because they couldn't fit. But we thank God for what God has done in saving souls and stirring hearts in the Oxford area. And praise the Lord for that. And the third church that God led us to was in Brighton. Brighton is a very unique place and a place that folks had said, oh, you'll never see a Sunday school work happen in Brighton. And it's the capital, you could say, in England of immorality. And it's a very wicked place. But we're thankful there's a faithful Sunday school and a faithful preaching of God's Word and a growing church in Brighton at West Hill Baptist Chapel. And then God led us to East Birmingham Baptist Chapel. And that is on the opposite side of Beaches Road in Birmingham. Birmingham consists of about 2.5 million people. It's a large, second largest city in the UK and very large there. But on the other side of the city in East Birmingham Baptist Chapel and is an area that's predominantly Muslim. And it was a little railroad mission there that God opened the doors for us to be able to go. Felt the leading of the Lord to do such a work there. And we're thankful for what God is doing in this place. It's just about a half a mile or a mile away from the place where the London 77 bombers were from. And it is there's a Muslim school just at the end of the road. And from East Birmingham Baptist Chapel, and children being raised up in the Islamic faith. But we're thankful there is a faithful gospel witness in this community. And even in recent days, they've had to find a new building because they've been outgrowing their mission hall. And they've been able to find on a weekly basis now a building that wasn't being used on a weekly basis, a church building there in the local area. And we're thankful for God's growth in that difficult area. But we're thankful the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power, not man. And praise the Lord for that. God led us to Liverpool, Breck Road Baptist Church there in Liverpool. And that was the fifth church plant that God led us to. And just recently, they were able to purchase right next to them a pub and a public house there. And you say, well, it's not to be used as a pub anymore. Well, we're thankful that place has been closed down. No longer is it a den of iniquity, but now the new ministry hall. And for teaching children's Sunday school, and put the local drug dealers out of business, and that wanted to use that car park for their drug deals, but no longer are able to. And but are thankful for what God is doing with the gospel work there in Liverpool. God led us during the lockdown, and it's amazing what the Lord is able to do, but it's hard to even say it when the words come out of my mouth. And but God even allowed us to be able to see a church started during lockdown in Mid-Wells, and New Street Baptist Chapel there in Mid-Wells, and just over the border as you walk into or drive into the city and a little town there, it says the Gateway to Wells. And we believe that God has led us there, and we're thankful for a growing work there. There was a neighboring church that's connected to their church building there that used to be all a part of the same church, and having many meetings there, they've actually had to start using that because their Sunday school is growing out of their current building there. And we're thankful for God's growing that work during lockdown and COVID times. And even a month ago, we were able to open the doors and see a gospel going forth in the south of London on the ring road there near Epsom, a little village church called Lower Kingswood. In Lower Kingswood there, we're thankful that God has opened a 7th Baptist Chapel there in just south of London. We believe that God is working in a great way in a land where many times and oftentimes when these works have begun, usually someone comes along the way and says, oh, it cannot be done. It will not happen. But I'm thankful that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above whatever we ask or whatever we could even think. It is not our work. It is God's work. His arm is mighty and able to save. God is not dead. He's alive and able to save. I've been stirred so much this week to be reminded of the things around us so very close. Revival times. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So one of two things has changed, and it's not God. And may the Lord stir his people once again to seek the Lord and to look for his face and know his power. We're thankful for what the Lord is doing in the United Kingdom, and we pray where God would continue to extend his work. You saw a Dutch couple that are here with us that mentioned they're from the Netherlands, praying God will open a door in the Netherlands. Praying God will open a door in Scotland. We were just up that way, and Lord working and stirring up in Scotland. And may the Lord take us to the ends of the earth together as God's people. And may the Lord lead in that way. We're thankful to be together this night and be able to report the great things the Lord is doing. And we're thankful to be able to share with you in song. The students want to return to their place at this time. We'll have them sing their next song together. And may the Lord ever help us to remember that command of the Lord that God's people should be a lighthouse, a city that is set on a hill. And may we not hide our light under a bushel. And they'll sing this next song, "We'll Hold Up the Light."
In the darkness, in the wilderness,
come and join me at this time. In 2014, God provided a very special place just south of Birmingham in the heart of England in the Worcestershire County region in a little town called Droitwich Spa. And just off the M5 there, we're thankful for God's provision to a five-acre property that God is truly is using and working in a great way. It was a miraculous provision. And we do believe God led us and to be able to not only be able to see churches started, but it's a privilege to have some of these young people, and we're reached and we're connected through some of our church plants. But this is a place where now these students would be training, and they would have some practical days of ministry on the weekends, and then days in the classes during the week. And we're thankful for that place that God has provided. It sits on a five-acre field where we have Camp Victory. And God allowed us to see that started in 2011. We had to meet off property. And this year, meeting on that property, we had to close registration because we were running out of space on that five-acre land. It was children everywhere. And my wife and I have the privilege of living on that property. We had children in our back garden, children everywhere. Children were everywhere learning about Jesus Christ. And we're thankful to report that children have been saved and lives have been changed, even called to ministry through the work of Camp Victory there on that property. But Sarah's been training there over the past few months, come over from the States. And we're thankful that she's here to be able to share her testimony of the great things the Lord has done for her.
Thank you so much for the opportunity to share what the Lord has done in my life. I was thankful and blessed to grow up in a home where my parents took me to church at a young age, and I thank them for that. And it was at a young age where I heard the gospel preached every Sunday, and I was sitting one night with a Sunday school teacher, and she explained the gospel to me one-on-one, and I remember saying a prayer, but I didn't understand what I was saying, and I lived off of that for a few years, and I knew that I wasn't saved. I began to understand that it was just words. It wasn't I didn't believe what I had said because I didn't know what I had said. And the Lord convicted me of that and showed me that I wasn't saved. And it wasn't until a few years later as a teenager that he saved me. I had to come to understand that I was a sinner and that I couldn't save myself. That I had to repent of my sins and trust in him and believe in him. And I did that. And I'm so thankful that he didn't give up on me. You know, there was many times I heard the gospel. I heard it every week, twice a week, but he never gave up on me, and I'm so grateful for that. And after that, he led me to Crown College, and where I'm studying missions. And my first year, a missionary from England, he gave a devotion from John 12, 24, and 25. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. And he had said, you know, our life is like that corn of wheat, and if we just keep it to ourselves, it's not worth anything. But if we let it fall to the ground, and if we give our lives to the Lord, then it can be used greatly for him. And I just really understood that there's nothing more worth my time than to give it to the Lord. I've come to know more and more about him and about his word, and I've understood that he is worthy, and I'm so grateful that he saved me, and he's called me into his work, and I pray that I would work for him and not of myself. And as I, you know, am over here in the UK, I'm so grateful he led me over here to study for a term. I've just been able to see him do so much work in my life, and he just is constantly reminding me of his faithfulness. In Lamentations 3:22, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And the more I learn about him, as I said, the more he shows me of his love. And how unworthy was I, but he loved me so much, he sent his own son to die for me. And I couldn't be more grateful for that. And I just pray that he would use me, and that he would just use me to further his work, and that it wouldn't be of me, but it would be of him. And again, I'm just so thankful he didn't give up on me, and just how much he loves me.
Amen. May the Lord encourage us to sacrifice unto the Lord our lives, and he's worth it all. And the students sing this time two more songs, and we'll have them sing The Last Blood next.
When men
before they sing their last song. Ezra chapter 7 and verse number 10 says this, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord." Just after this next song, Pastor Borland's going to come and bring the word of God to us. May the Lord encourage us each to prepare our hearts to hear the word of God. I know myself, there's been many times where I've come to a church meeting, but I might have been seeking for something else or my mind somewhere else. But may we seek the Lord together this evening. May we know his presence here with us. May the Lord be honored and glorified as they sing their final song here together, "In the Secret of His Presence."
God's word together, please, and turn to Psalm 121, if you would, please. Psalm 121, I want to say thank you to your pastor for his willingness to have us, and kindness and warm welcome that we've received already. I want to thank you all for giving us the privilege of being here, and I'm thankful for the opportunity to preach this evening. We are thrilled to be a part of God's work in England, and many people have told us that England is a impossible place for missionary work and endeavors, but we are excited to face a challenge. We believe that what is impossible with man is very possible with God, and we are pleased to be a part of God's work and to see him blessing. And I'm privileged to be with you tonight. I met your pastor this summer. He was on holiday passing through and was able to visit with us in Oxford, and thankful to be with him here and be with you all here tonight. Psalm 121, turn there with me, please. Only 8 verses. An encouraging and a familiar psalm to many of us, I'm sure. There's a lot of discussion as to why this psalm was written. Some imagine it to be a battle psalm. Some imagine it to be a psalm to be sung on journeys to bring comfort when those might be fearful when traveling along. But it is said to be the second of the Song of Degrees, the second psalm that would be sung as the Israelites made their way to the temple for worship. Let's read it together. Psalm 121, beginning in verse number 1. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Amen. Let's pray together and ask God to help us as we look at his word. Father, we come tonight in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We are quick to acknowledge that there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. No name worth mentioning before thee besides the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus. We acknowledge, Father, that we have no righteousness of our own. We do not pretend to be something that we're not. And we give thanks that Christ did not come for the righteous, but he came for the sinner. And we give thanks, Lord, that we are counted amongst that number and gladly receive the Lord Jesus and his righteousness. Tonight, Lord, we pray for help. We thank thee for what we've heard in song, the testimony and the sermon that can be heard through singing. We rejoice that there is a secret place tonight, and we pray that we might find ourselves this very evening in that secret place. We acknowledge that there is no replacement for a quiet, personal time with thee. There is no substitute, Lord, for pushing out all the things of this world and finding ourselves alone with thee. But we do pray that this building, this church house, would be transformed into a secret place tonight as we seek thy face. We pray that those who perhaps have come in unprepared would find themselves suddenly prepared. We pray, Lord, that the distractions of life may be pushed out of our minds and out of this building, and we would find ourselves alone with thee in this place. Please, God, speak to us. We have heard many times of thy great moving in the days that have gone by, but we confess that yesterday's blessings are not good enough for today. We ask of thee, Lord, grant unto us what we have never known, what we have never experienced ourselves. We pray, Lord, that it would please thee tonight to rend the heavens and come down, not in judgment, Father, but in blessing. Please, Lord, speak to us. We ask these things in Jesus Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. I love this hymn, this psalm, which was used as a hymn in the Jewish songbook, you could say. I love this. Very encouraging thoughts in this text. Something that struck me today when looking at this portion of Scripture is that there's really only one thing for God's people to do. We busy ourselves with many things, don't we? We seem to be preoccupied with so many different things and so many activities and so many programs. And I'm not saying that all of those things are bad, but there's really one thing that is needful and necessary for God's people today, and it is found in the opening words of this psalm. I will lift up mine eyes. And the rest of the psalm deals with what God does. I think what we've done in this day and in this age is we have taken God's work and made it ours. We've become so busy and so preoccupied, and we have become so active that we have become inactive spiritually. And in this psalm, there is really only one word of instruction to the child of God, and the rest of it deals with God himself. I will lift up mine eyes. It's interesting that the psalmist recognized that there was one thing that was needful for him, and that was simply to look up. God will do the rest. I will lift up mine eyes. And I think the reason for this understanding and exhortation tonight is because there is a constant pull from this world and from life that draws our eyes off of God and downward. I find myself very often needing to look up by many different things that pull my eyes earthward. Sometimes grief and discouragement cause me to look down. If you ever notice a child when they are reproved or when they're going through a difficult time, they look down, don't they? Drooping head and eyes on the floor. When my children are being told off, they rarely look me in the eyes. Sometimes I have to say, look at me now. And they'll look away. Look now, look at me. Because the natural thing to do when you're going through some sort of reproof is to look down. And the psalmist said, I will lift up mine eyes. And maybe tonight you have felt that you've been going through some chastisement of God or some difficulty. The last 2 years have been very difficult and challenging, haven't they? And if we're not careful, we'll find our eyes on COVID-19 or now we've moved on to a strife in Eastern Europe, whatever it may be, but we must learn to lift up our eyes. There's really only one thing to do. We can be busy trying to strategize and figure out what we can do, and we can miss the one thing we should do, which is just simply look up. I lift up mine eyes. I think of Peter. Can't help but think of Peter when the storms were raging. The Lord Jesus bid him walk on water. You remember the account. And he took a step of faith and walked out on the water. But he quickly had his eyes off of Christ and down towards the waves and the storm. And we are encouraged and yea, commanded to look unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 14 and verse number 30, in that famous account of Peter walking on the water. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. I think the most prominent reason we are fearful is because we're not looking up. The number one reason God's people are lacking boldness and zeal and strength today is because instead of looking up, we're looking down at the waves. Instead of looking up, we're looking at all the problems. And for this reason, we, like Peter, are fearful. And if we would simply lift up mine eyes, we would no longer be so fearful. Sometimes I think we need to lift up our eyes from off of people. I don't know about you, but every once in a while I get distracted looking at others. I meet people all the time who tell me they used to go to church and they used to walk with God, but then such a one did this or such a one did that, or the pastor or the elders or the deacons. And oftentimes, because we're not looking up, we're looking at people, we are very discouraged and blown off of course. I wonder how many believers have found themselves drifting, backsliding, because they took their eyes off of Christ Jesus and were looking at man. I will lift up mine eyes. I wonder this evening, are your eyes on Christ? It's interesting, one preacher said that the eyes were the window of the soul. And the eyes have so much to do with how we live and how we function and how we think. The word eyes is found 478 times in our English Bible. The word eye, singular, 94 times. And oftentimes we recognize that the battle always involves in some way or another the eyes. In fact, the very first battle known to man is found in Genesis chapter 3 with Adam and Eve. And the scriptures say in verse number 5, for God, the serpent speaking unto Eve, the serpent said in verse number 4 unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for the Lord doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened. Ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat, and the eyes of them both were opened. Well, how much do the eyes affect the way we live? How much of what we look at does affect the way that we live. I think we've got to be careful more today than ever, because the whole world has come to our eyes by way of these little devices we call mobile phones. The scripture says in another place that mine eye hath affected my heart. What you see cannot help but affect your heart. What you're looking at from day to day, from moment to moment, will affect your heart, believe it or not. Isaiah 45 and verse number 22, the famous verse that Charles Spurgeon was converted beneath, "Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth," because if you're not looking at him, you cannot be saved. If you do not take your eyes from yourself and this world and look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, then you'll never be saved. I think another reason the psalmist said, "I will lift up mine eyes," because so often we're looking to self, aren't we? I don't know about you, but if I look at myself too long, I get very discouraged. Robert Murray McShane, one of my favorite historical figures, said, "For every one look at self, take 10 looks to Christ." What good advice. If I look at myself, I find all the faults and failures, and I feel absolutely worthless and unable, and all those things may be true, but we've never been told to look at ourselves. Occasionally, W.C. Burns, he was the man responsible for the revival that kicked off in Dundee, Scotland, while McShane was away in Palestine or Israel, and he said this. Yes, McShane said, one look for to self, take 10 looks to Christ, but W.C. Burns said, but yes, that first look is important. To see the faults and failures, but quickly look to Christ. Look unto me and be ye saved, but you cannot look unto him until you lift up your eyes. I remember the story in Numbers chapter 21, the nation of Israel wandering through the wilderness and grumbling and complaining came, and God sent serpents. You remember it? And the Israelites were bitten. And God instructed Moses to make a serpent. And the Bible says in verse number 8 of Numbers chapter 21, the Lord said unto Moses, "Make thee a fiery serpent, set it on a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live." We sing sometimes the old hymn, "Look and live, my brother, live." I wonder this evening, are you looking unto Jesus? There's one thing tonight for you to do. Look, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. My pastor used to say that a proper fear of God will relieve you of all lesser fears. If you find yourself fearful tonight, it's probably because you're not fearing God the way you should. You're not looking to him the way you should. And if you and I would simply look up, then all lesser things would melt away. And the psalmist recognizes one responsibility was to lift up his eyes. I love this. There are many potential dangers in this walk, in this Christian life. They are outlined for us in our text. In verse number 3, "He will not suffer thy foot to be moved." There is a danger of our feet being moved. There's a danger of us being blown off of course. And I wondered about this sometimes. I was speaking with a brother yesterday talking about how frail the flesh is, how easy it is to just slip and fall and backslide. And we hear of ministers falling over and over again. And we're reminded sometimes, but for the grace of God, there go I. And we think sometimes of our foot slipping. There are some Christians who love to talk about believers slipping. I hope you're not one of them. There are some Christians who enjoy a good gossip session. They almost enjoy being able to tell someone about how a brother or sister is not doing the way that they should. Did you hear about such a one? May God keep us from such talk. Well, there's a danger of your feet being moved. There's a danger as well of being attacked. We have a very real enemy, don't we? The scriptures say the devil is like a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. If you didn't recognize it by now, then you're in trouble, because we are in a battle. We're in a war. And you have a very real enemy. He's the enemy of your soul. He hates you and wants to devour you and wreck and ruin your life. He wants to wreck and ruin this church, your family. We have a real enemy. And there are enemies all around us attacking day and night. We have storms in life. Oh, there's constant storms. Somebody this week, I'm sure, will receive bad news. Over and over we hear of one bad thing after another. And sometimes, you heard the expression so many times, I'm sick of hearing it, when it rains, it pours. Sometimes it seems like there's one difficulty, one storm after another, and you can't barely get your head above the waves. There are many dangers in this walk. Elements and things that smite us. There's evil. The Bible says in verse 7, the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. There's evil all around us. There's corruption all around us. You hear one after another of one church drifting away and changing and after another. And there seems to be corruption coming at every angle. Well, there's so many potential dangers. But there's one thing for you to do in the midst of all those dangers. Lift up your eyes. Look up. And there's a promise that in the midst of all of these troubles and difficulties and all of your challenges, if you would simply lift up your eyes, the Bible says in verse number 3, he will not suffer. He will not allow thy foot to be moved. What an encouragement in a day when so many are slipping and sliding. If you will simply place your eyes on the author and finisher of your faith, you will not be moved. I love the scripture that says this, let us be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Keep your eyes on Christ, looking into Jesus. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Let me encourage you this evening. And again in verse number 5, the Lord is thy keeper. You've got a watchman that is better than any man, any earthly watchman. You've got a guard over your soul that is better than an entire army that could surround you. And his name is Jehovah. By the way, he commands all the armies of angels. He commands them. They labor at his beck and call. He snaps his finger, and there goes 10,000 angels. I'm reminded of that story of the prophet in the Old Testament traveling there with his servant, and they were surrounded by an army, and the servant said, what shall we do? And he said, Lord, he prayed, Lord, open his eyes, and his eyes were open, and there on the mountaintops were an innumerable company of angels. When you think you're surrounded by evil and darkness in this world, may God cause you to lift up your eyes and see that there's one that guards you, that keeps you, that protects you. Somebody once said this, that one with God is a majority. And if God be for us, who can be against us? May the Lord encourage you that you have a keeper. I love what Jesus told the disciples in John chapter 10. It's become a passage of great comfort to many a believer. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. It would do you good to memorize this verse. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. You've got a good keeper. You're going to be okay. Oh, but what about this and what about that? Remind yourself, lift up your eyes. There's your keeper. He's watching. The Bible says he never slumbers nor sleeps. There have been many tragedies that have taken place because a watchman has fallen asleep. There have been a countless number of times when a watchman or a guard has fallen asleep on duty and caused such tragedy because of it. But we have a keeper that never sleeps, nor does he need to sleep. So he'll never get drowsy, he never gets tired. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he's God of the universe, Creator God, and he's watching over you day and night. The sovereignty of God is a doctrine of great comfort. To know that he is in complete control. He never grows weary, never grows tired, never grows weak. But he's always alert and always active. Sometimes we say, well, the Lord really intervened today. Actually, the Lord always intervenes. Sometimes he just works in a way that you like, and so therefore we say he intervened. He's always at work. He keeps us. What a thought. It goes on. Not only does he keep us, the scriptures say, at three times in that passage, but the Bible says, he goes on in verse number 5, the Lord is thy keeper, the Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. He's a shelter for us. The Lord's our rock, in him we hide. This morning I went down by the sea. We were staying in a hostel, a youth hostel, just on the coast, and took my Bible down, was walking along the sand. Beautiful this morning, sun shining. I walked along the coast and came to some cliffs, and there were a couple of caves. I walked into both of the caves that I found, and this song came to my mind. The Lord's our rock. In him we hide, shelter in the time of storm. Our God is our shelter. And the Bible says in verse number 5 that he's thy shade upon thy right hand. Literally, here's what it means. Would you look this way for a moment? This water's at my right hand. It means it's here, it's near, it's in my reach. I don't have to go looking for shelter and for shade. He's always near. He's always there. I don't have to go on holiday and organize all these things to get shelter from my troubles and to get away from my problems. He is my shelter. He's my stronghold, my strong tower. He's at my right hand. The scriptures go on, the sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. Bring on the elements if you want to, but I've got safety and shelter. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. There's an understanding here that evil has a corrupting ability. And the Bible says that God will preserve thee from that corruption. Oh, I get nervous every once in a while thinking about all those who seem to be falling away and falling to the side. And I get nervous about, oh, whoa, am I going to fail the Lord? Am I going to bring shame to his name? The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. The scriptures say, Peter writes in 2 Peter chapter 1, thinking of this beautiful portion of scripture. And verse number 3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us, watch this, exceeding great and precious promises, that by these, by the promises of God, by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Do you know how it is that we avoid the corruption of evil? By the exceeding great and precious promises of God. Do you believe his word? Do you believe he's able? Do you believe that he's more than able? That if you ask, you shall receive? That if you seek, you shall find? That if you knock, it shall be opened unto you? Do you believe the precious promises of his word? He will preserve you from evil. All evil. From the evil inside of you. And by the way, it's still there. Thank God we're new creatures. John Newton, the man who wrote Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wonderful man like me. Is that what he said? Saved a wretch like me. He knew what he was. He once wrote and penned it. I'm going to butcher it, I'm sure, but he put a little plaque. You can see it in his old house now in Olney. He said these words: I'm not what I should be. I'm not what I could be. I'm not what I ought to be. But praise God, I'm not what I once was before. And although we're not what we used to be, we're still not finished. There's still the old nature inside that we battle from day to day. And the scriptures say that he will preserve you from all evil. Amen. From the evil inside. From the evil around. I don't know why we live such fearful lives. He's promised us that he will preserve us from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. Now, would you look here for one moment? I don't mean to step on anybody's toes, but we have preached for many a century The greatest part of man, the most important part of man, is his soul. But the last couple of years, we seem to have imagined that the most important part of man is his body. The promise of protection is one of soul preservation. Look, this body will rot. And should Jesus tarry his coming, I will die. But the greatest thing that needs to be, the most important thing we need to be concerned about is the preservation of the soul. What good is it if you preserve your physical body and your soul is rotting? What good is it if you live another 50 years but you never draw any closer to God? What good is it if you have the greatest physical health on earth but spiritually you're rotting inside? May God give us the right perspective. May he give us the right priorities. He shall preserve thy soul. Can I ask you this evening, how's your soul? John writes a very interesting expression in his little letters. He says in the third letter, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, in verse number 1, the elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Did you catch that? Brother, I want you to prosper in life and be healthy in life in direct correlation to the health of your soul. Now, look here for one moment. Would you please look this way? Tonight, if your physical health were to match your spiritual health, how healthy would you be? If the health of your body, of your flesh, were to be equivalent to the health of your soul, I'm afraid that if our physical health matched our spiritual health, I'm afraid that many of us would be looking pretty bad. Oh, it's the prospering of the soul that we ought to be most concerned with. The Lord shall preserve thy soul. The Lord, this last verse in closing, the Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Now, many believe that this psalm was written in a time of fearfulness, whether it be in a battle or whether it be traveling along the road in a dangerous part of the land, but either way, a time of fearfulness. And so the exhortation was this: God will preserve you. If you go out or you come in from this time forth forevermore. By the way, the understanding is then you should go out. We have a work to do for God. We're running out of time, and time is short, it's ticking by. And whilst we build our earthly kingdoms, it looks as if darkness prevails. May God stir us tonight, and may we be about his business of going out, knowing that if we go out and come in, that we might know the preserving hand of God forevermore. So therefore, lift up your eyes. Amazing when you think about all that God is doing, all that he has done, all that he's promised to do for us. Lift up your eyes. Lift them up. There's a couple of passages in here in closing, a couple of verses. Micah chapter 7, verse number 5. Listen to these verses. Trust ye not in a friend. Put ye not confidence in a guide. Keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in thy bosom. For the son dishonoreth the father. The daughter riseth up against her mother. The daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own house. Therefore, I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Will you look unto him tonight? Will you lift your eyes to him, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith? I want you to bow your head with me tonight. We'll close in prayer, then I'll hand it back over to your dear pastor here in a moment. Perhaps tonight you've been living in fear. Lift up your eyes. Maybe you've never been saved, but there's one thing for you to do is look and live. Look unto Jesus and be ye saved. Christ summed salvation up in John chapter 6 very plainly in verse number 40. This is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son, do you see him? High and lifted up. And believeth on him may have everlasting life. Let's pray. Father, we thank thee that there's nothing for us to do but look. And I pray this evening we might find our eyes looking heavenward. That we might cease from our labors and enter into rest. That we might learn what it is to live by faith, not by sight. Oh, Father, help us to look unto Jesus. I pray for those who may be lost tonight, who do not know the joy of salvation, do not know what it is to have their sins washed away. Tonight, Lord, please, help them to look unto Jesus Christ. Help them to see a Savior who bled and died in their place, taking upon himself their sins, that they may be born again. I pray for thy children who are fearful tonight, Lord, strengthen them. Help each one of us to look, to lift up our eyes. Help us to believe all that we've read tonight to be true, that thou wilt preserve us, that thou wilt protect us, keep us, guard us. Father, we thank thee for these truths. Lord, I pray that tonight we may no longer fear what man may do to body, but may we instead fear him that can destroy both body and soul in hell. Oh, Lord, help us to look unto thee. We ask thy blessing, thy great blessing upon this church, upon the dear people here. We thank thee, Lord, for their faithfulness through the years. Continue to uphold them, strengthen them, use them for thy glory, we pray. We pray that many a lost and wandering soul would be pointed to Jesus Christ through their efforts and labors. Encourage them in these days, we pray. For we ask these things in Christ Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.